Excellent.
That'll be the official start.
No, you're good.
No, it's good. Stand in front of them and sing. They told me not to burn myself.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
For the regular attenders and brothers and sisters, saints who are live streaming this evening, grace and peace with you and to you. And for the visitors, we're so glad that you've come out to Crossway this evening and to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just as a reminder, if you are not comfortable with the choir being on the stage, we had a change of plans with the weather. Man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. And we had planned to be outside, but weather changed. And so if you're not comfortable being in here during the caroling, feel free. The Connections Cafe to my right and your left is available. You're free to stay there during the caroling only and come back, or stay there for the remainder of the service, whichever you feel most comfortable. We need the Lord's help this evening, so please, will you bow your head with me? Father, we do come before you, and we're thankful for this season, in particular tomorrow and the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We ask that this evening would be a time that would be pleasing in your sight. You prepare our hearts, you would gird our mind for acceptable worship. We pray as well that this would be a time that's not only edifying for the saints, but would be a means even by which you would save some this evening who do not know you. And so we commit this time to you, and we reserve for you only the highest of praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'll join us now in standing to sing, we're going to go right through the carols at the beginning with some scripture in between. So let's stand together now and start with Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare in room.
And heaven and nature sing.
Joy.
Full of grace and truth.
the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail, the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail, the Star of Righteousness, light and love
together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, since he was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had thought this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus.
While by the sheep we watched at night, glad tidings brought an angel bright. How great our joy,
great our joy.
Joy, joy, joy,
joy, joy, joy.
Praise be the Lord in heaven on high.
Praise be the Lord in
be born, so he did say, in Bethlehem a child today. How
joy, joy,
joy, joy, joy.
Praise be the Lord in heaven on high.
Praise be the Lord in heaven on high.
This gift of God will cherish well, that ever joy our hearts shall fill. How great our joy,
great our joy.
Joy, joy, joy,
joy, joy, joy.
Praise be the Lord in heaven on high.
Praise be the Lord in heaven on high.
Revelation 5, 1 through 14. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders of the voice of many angels, numbering myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and glory and blessing and honor." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them say, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped.
Above thy deep and dream.
1 through 12. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds, and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe. You will roll them up like a garment. They will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end."
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria.
You may be seated.
Isaiah 2:9-7. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice, and they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is confused with noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of his increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Going to play this next song. It's an instrumental, but I would encourage you to, if you have a hymnal in front of you, open up to song number 218 and read along with the lyrics as we play them.
Thank you.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her."
It's time to invite the kids to come up. So all kids, come on up here. I have something that I need your help with. So come on. Hey, good. Come up. Sit right here. Right about there. Maybe right up on top. Right here. Come on up. Yeah, you come. All right, good. We got a few more coming on. Come on up here. Yeah, you can all sit up here. Oh, that's perfect. Right there. Good job. Oh, good. Good. Yeah. So, kids, this is just going to take a minute, but I need a little help with something. There's a big box over there. Look right over there. See this big box right over here? This is a big gift that's been sitting up here for a while. I've been kind of wondering about it, and I think it's Christmas Eve, so I thought, hey, we can open this thing up, and it's always more fun when you have someone opening up something with you, right? What do you think? Got any guesses about what's in there? Nothing? No, you just think so? Maybe? You can't. Well, we'll see. Well, it's got a card with it, though. So, you have to open the cards before you open the gift. You know, that's like a rule. You got to open your cards and read the cards. Right. So let's open this card. Let's see what it has to say. All right. Ready? It says, "Dear friend, please take a moment to think about this note before you open this special gift." Okay. "I wanted to give you something that would help remind you of Jesus. It's something I think everybody in America is familiar with, and just about the whole world knows about this thing that's in the box. You could get one of these just about anywhere. You could actually see this gift outside in different places if you look carefully. Matter of fact, the forest animals like this gift too. I hope this gift will always remind you of Jesus. Your anonymous friend." Wow, anonymous. You know what anonymous means? It means we don't know who it is. So some friend gave this gift. So what do you think's in the box? That was quite a riddle.
Bibles.
Maybe. Anyone else got a guess what's in this box? A flower. I don't know. Well, I think it's time for us to open it and find out. Are you ready? I'm going to bring it over here. Let's see. You want to help? All right. Pull it back. You want to? It's pretty easy to open. Look, let's see what's in here. Hey, look! What in the world is this? It's a tree. It's a Christmas tree. Get out! And there's a star. What do you think of this? I got a Christmas tree for Christmas. That is great. All right. Well, I only have one question though. How does this remind me of Jesus? I'm not exactly sure. Let's think about it for a minute. Hey, look, there's another card in here. Look, we got another card. All right, let's open it up and find out. Maybe this is going to tell us something. Now, I think that's just packaging. So why don't we take a seat? Why don't we sit back down? We sit back down. We'll come over here, sit back down. Come on. All right. Good job. Good job. We got one more card. I think this may tell us something. You doing okay? Good. All right. Keep an eye on her. All right. All right. Dear friend, just in case you were wondering how this reminds you of Jesus, I thought I should tell you. That's a good thing, because I am. Are you wondering how that reminds? You're wondering how that reminds you, Sebastian? Yeah, good. All right. He's going to tell us. Here we go. Christmas trees are also called evergreen trees. Why? Because they stay green year-round during the winter and the summer. Their green needles don't die like how the leaves of other trees die in winter. Their needles are alive all year round, and that can remind you of the everlasting life that Jesus gives. All right, now that's making sense. That thing's green, stays green year round, and that reminds us of the everlasting life that Jesus can give you. But that's not the only way this tree can remind you of Jesus. The star on top should remind you of the Star of Bethlehem. There we go, right there. This was a very special miraculous light sent by God to guide a group of men called the Magi to Jesus when he was just a very small boy living in Bethlehem. Now, there's one more thing that should remind you of Jesus. The lights. I don't see any lights on there. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, right. There they are. There are lights on there. All right. That's a pretty cool tree. I got myself a nice tree. All right. See, what else he has to say? Oh, I see. Jesus is called the light of the world, which means he brought truth into the world. So when you look at those lights, remember that Jesus is the light of the world. I hope this tree will remind you of Jesus. Have a great Christmas, your anonymous friend. I wonder who that friend is who keeps sending these gifts. Anyways, so the Christmas tree reminds us of Jesus. So I hope your tree, you all have trees at home? Good. So you look at that tree this Christmas tomorrow morning. Good. That is great. Well, you look at that tree tomorrow morning and you be reminded of Jesus, okay? That's great. Thanks for helping me open my gift. You can go and back and sit down with your parents. But oh, wait. There was something else in here. Stars. You want a star? All right. Reach in there, grab a star. Watch out. It's a little glittery. Okay. Do you want a star? No? Okay. I just checked. All right. You can go back to your seat now. Okay. Here, I'm going to pull some out. All right. Star for you? Star? 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 All right. Oh, a gold star. That'll really remind you. That's good. All right. Here's some sticky stars on a sticky pad. You got the sticky ones. All right. Good. Oh, you got the big one. All right. And, oh, you got some sticky stars. And, oh, you got a big one. Okay. It's great having you up here. You can head on back now. All right. There we go. All right.
Crown him again. incense to offer have I. Incense songs of day and night. Prayer and praising, all men raising, worship moon God most high. Myrrh is mine, a bitter perfume, breathes a life of gathering gloom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, still in a stone cold tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to that perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God in sacrifice. Hallelujah, hallelujah, earth to the heavenly pie. Star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect
Luke 1, 46 to 56. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength in his arm. He has scattered the proud in their thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months, and returned to her home.
Well, it's fantastic to hear from Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1, and soon we're going to hear from Luke chapter 2. And all those passages are associated with the Lord's birth, and but long before the Lord's birth came in Luke chapter 2, as we will read, there were prophecies about his emergence into the world. And those prophecies add a sense of authoritative anticipation to the reading about the Lord's birth. They are a marvelous addition to reading about how the Lord came into this world. So we're going to take a look at two of those prophecies, and this will be fairly brief. The first prophecy is recorded in Genesis 22, 17 through 18, which is in the context of Abraham taking his son Isaac and binding him and laying him upon that altar to sacrifice him to the Lord and raising the knife. And before the knife could fall, the angel of the Lord called from heaven, stopping the sacrifice, saying, "Abraham, Abraham, do not lay your hand on the boy, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then the angel of the Lord said to Abraham, "I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring, or descendant, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And the descendant is Jesus. And we know that because Galatians 3:16 specifically indicates that. As the Apostle Paul wrote, "Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring." It does not say "and to offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one. "And to your offspring, who is Christ." The offspring, or the descendant of Genesis 22, is shown to be Jesus. How marvelous that is, that hundreds of years, way back in the day of Abraham, the Lord, our God, announces that Jesus will be born. He will come. What great anticipation over the years. And finally, the prophecy was fulfilled in Bethlehem. Well, there's another prophecy about Jesus recorded in Isaiah 7:14, which is an interesting prophecy, to say the least, as it came in the context of the divided kingdom. When there was war between the northern kingdom, Israel, and the southern kingdom, Judah, it was their civil war. And the Lord had a few things to say to Ahaz, king of Judah, through the prophet Isaiah. And he gave a message of hope to Ahaz that Judah would not be conquered by the northern kingdom and their allies. And then God told King Ahaz, "King, ask for a sign. Any sign you would like to verify that you will not be conquered." Strangely, Ahaz said he didn't want a sign. So God said, "I'll give you a sign." And then he spoke the amazing prophecy of Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore, the Lord said," or the Lord himself, "will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, I'm sure that went right over King Ahaz's head. I mean, he was probably thinking, I wish I would have asked for a sign. And I'm not sure even Isaiah would have known what that prophecy was. But we know that the prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus. He was born of a virgin. He was called Emmanuel. And Matthew 1:22 and 23 specifically indicate that Isaiah's prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus. So we look at these prophecies hundreds of years ago, before the scene of the birth in Luke chapter 2. God was putting a big billboard out there, a big Old Testament billboard. You know, like the billboards along the interstates? He put a big Old Testament billboard out there saying, "There will be a descendant, an Abrahamic descendant. The descendant will be miraculously born of a virgin. The descendant will be called Emmanuel. God is with us." And the Old Testament billboard is just shouting, "He's coming, he's coming, he's coming, the one to bless all the nations." And Luke chapter 2 tells us he has come. The descendant has come. He has blessed all the nations. And tonight, we get to read about that. We get to sink our minds into Jesus and the birth and all that surrounded that and all that means for the nations. Thank you.
Fall on your knees. was born. Shall he break? For the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory.
This reading will be from the Gospel of Luke, 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 14. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
Well, a recent poll was conducted a few years ago in which Americans were asked what their view towards Christmas was. The study found that those who were surveyed had a diminishing concern over the religious component of Christmas. That is, Christmas culturally, for an increasing number of Americans, is no longer about the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ, but instead of the cultural celebration, they combine it with New Year's. And so instead of Merry Christmas, it is Happy Holidays. Americans in general are increasingly skeptical that Jesus Christ was born to a virgin. Less believe that Jesus was laid in a manger. And they even doubt that shepherds, wise men, were guided by a star who brought Jesus gifts. Few today actually believe in our text this evening that Dean just read about the announcement of the birth of the Messiah to shepherds. What do you believe? Why are you here this evening? Is it just something that you and your family does perhaps once or twice a year, the other being Resurrection Day or Easter? Is it a cultural or traditional thing that you just do? What do you really believe about Christmas this evening? I would like to submit to you this evening that what you believe about Christmas this evening and tomorrow morning will be evident in how you live your life. The main point of the message is this: the Savior of the world was born 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ came to earth to save sinners. Do you need to be saved from anything this evening? If you have no need of a Savior, Christmas is just another holiday. Christmas, by definition, has the prefix Christ. Regarding Christ, I'd like to make 3 points. It's real easy. They all start with C, and you can just remember Christmas starts with C. 3 points start with C, and amen to that. First observation I'd like us to make is the circumstance or the humble beginning of Jesus Christ. Typically, kings are born in pomp, in splendor, in radiance, and in glory. Instead, we see the humility of the Lord. He was born essentially in a stall, and as we just heard from verse 1, Caesar Augustus decreed that all in his empire should come, should be registered. So Joseph and Mary made their way to Bethlehem. There was no room at the guest house or inn. And as they went from house to house, and particularly probably among family members, no one really had any room. And the town was packed. And where the Messiah was born would have been a very dirty place. And not only did they stay there, but she gave birth in this barn. Now, for all of the men who have been there when their wives have given birth, you know it's quite an experience. There was blood, sweat, pain. There was crying, and there was screaming, and the ground was very cold. Not only were the conditions far from ideal for a king, but so was the smell. It was the stench of manure. And no one was there, no doctors, no nurses, just Mary and Joseph in a barn. And as that child came out, Joseph would have been with Mary the whole time. There was no other child born that night that would have had such lower prospects because of his heavenly pedigree. The Son of God was born not as a prince should be, but as a pauper. And this is where it begins. God in flesh. God's humble beginnings. But not only was his circumstance humbling, but with that, so was the clothing. Clothes that Jesus was wrapped in would have been long linens that was used to keep limbs straight. There were no royal clothes for him to wear. And this is important, and this is why. Because in the Oriental Middle East, the rank of a child was indicated by the splendor and the costliness of the linens. Wealthy families and the children of nobility would have expensive purple cloths fastened with a clasp. Jesus had no such clothing. They laid him in a manger. This would have been a feeding trough. This feeding trough would have been pieces of stone or brick that would have been watertight. But Jesus was laid after he was born in a feeding trough. Jesus was not born in a manger. He was laid in one. And so the night was cold. The conditions did not fit his pedigree. The stench would have been strong. And blood, sweat, and tears, all of this. And then they place him in a feeding trough where animals consume their grain. And Jesus was also born at night. Is there anything more to this? Yes. Because the world sat in darkness. And Jesus, as the great light, has come to bring healing and to draw men to himself, to expose their darkness and to save them from their sin. So what's the point? God, when he came incarnate, came in humility. He was not born in a palace, but in a barn. He came lowly. It said that he began in a manger, he ended on a cross, and he had nowhere to lay his head. There may be some here even this evening who have had no room for him. People are full of themselves, full of their own self-righteousness, their own cares, their own morality. And they are apathetic towards Jesus Christ. And my plea for you this evening is this. You must bow your head, your knee, your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, let's look at the call or the humble visitation. Do you remember who received the first announcement? It was shepherds. How interesting that shepherds were the ones who heard the announcement of the chief shepherd. Typically, the announcement of kings would come with trumpets and music, a long procession, followed by grand amounts of people. But this wasn't the event. The good news of the Savior came first to the most unlikely groups. Shepherds, actually, in terms of the socioeconomic ranking, were the lowest, with the exception of lepers. Shepherds were in a habitual condition of ritual uncleanness because they spent their whole time around dirty animals. And they weren't able to follow through all of the man-made religious protocols and rules by the Pharisees. But there's an openness about them. Did you hear that in the text? There's a humility in the hearing of the good news. So the first to hear the good news are the humble shepherds. And they would have been poor men. They would have been illiterate. But the gospel is a very simple message. And it is this: Jesus Christ has come to save sinners. Is that why you are here this evening? To celebrate what Christ has done for you. The announcement came to the lowly and the humble. These men received the greatest of honors, brothers and sisters. They left at once. They didn't know who this child was. They didn't even know specifically the direction, but they needed to find him. They went with haste. They would have left their sheep with a hireling, and they would have found this child. Oh, what an interesting conversation must have been once they found this child. Picture these shepherds all leaving, coming to the place, and they see this baby laying in a feeding trough. See, an element that's left out of this story is this. Many of these shepherds would have been watching over their flock, and many of them would have offered their lamb in a couple months for Passover. Passover is only a few months away. And as they're making their way to the barn, they're going to be looking at the Passover lamb. But not only that, third, I want you to think of the conversation or the humble discussion once the shepherds made their way to Mary and Joseph. And I'd like to read verses 15 through 19. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Now, we don't know what was spoken on the way there. We don't know all the details that was spoken between the shepherds and Mary and Joseph and anyone else that was in that room, but it must have been an encouraging conversation. You'll remember the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary in chapter 1, verse 30. The angel told her not to be afraid, and again, we see the same encouragement from the angel that appeared to the shepherds: do not be afraid. So the shepherds made their way to Bethlehem. They found the baby, and then they told it to Mary and Joseph. There was awe, there was wonder this evening. What's interesting would be the mutual fellowship between these strangers. Mary and Joseph, along with the shepherds, had one thing in common. It was that child. Mary treasured all of these things in her heart. We don't know the conversation, but there is a belonging and fellowship among those who are in Christ that no other relationship can experience. And this belonging, this excitement, this joy, I can only imagine the shepherds had with Mary and Joseph. It's all about Jesus Christ. So did you just come this evening because this is just what the culture does? Have you come because it's what you do twice per year? There are two titles given to Jesus. He's called Savior. He's also called Christ the Lord. He brings peace. Peace, meaning that right now, if you are not in Christ, you do not have true peace. If you have not cried out to the Lord to save you and to deliver you from your sin, you have no peace because you are dead in your sins and your trespasses. Peace with God only comes when two conditions are met. First, sin must be paid for. And second, there must be a transfer of righteousness that you cannot earn or merit or attain. That baby that is in the manger will have nowhere to put his head other than on a cross. And he did it to pay for the sin of all of those who place their faith in him. He is the Savior and also the Messiah. Is he your Savior this evening? The greatest present a Christian has ever received is the gift of salvation. It is of forgiveness and it is of pardon. That gift changes the whole man, and he is never the same. Jesus Christ was not born in a palace with great bars guarded from the outside world. No, he came as one who was approachable, who was accessible, and who was available. Is he your Savior? He is not. He offers you forgiveness this evening. He offers you forgiveness and pardon and hope. But if you reject this good news, if you reject him this evening, I have to give you the end of the story. His first bed was a feeding trough. Later, he'll have nowhere to lay his head with the exception of the cross and in the tomb. 3 days later, he was resurrected from the dead, therefore conquering death, and he has ascended to the right hand of God, and he is going to be coming back. He will judge you if you have not repented and trusted solely in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin and for the reception and positive side of a righteousness that you cannot earn or merit and attain on your own. There is only one way to be acceptable in his sight, and it is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are not in Christ this evening, you will forever reject this invitation. Will you humble yourself this evening? Will you come to him and find forgiveness? Will you ask him to change your heart? If you will ask, if you will come to him, he will forgive you and he will adopt you and he will invite you into the family so you can properly worship him the right way this evening. And so, I close with this. Is he your Savior? If he is not, I will be hanging around. Pastor Gordon is here as well. And we can talk with you and pray with you and show you how you can be rest assured that your sins have been forgiven. We are going to close with O Holy Night, and we are using real candles this evening. Everybody here should have received a candle, and the deacons and ushers are coming around, so feel free to stand, please, and we're going to be concluding with O Holy Night, and then at the conclusion, you are dismissed to go. Be blessed, and God bless.
Just a little correction to Greg's announcement there. We're going to be singing Silent Night. No, no problem. O Holy Night is also a beautiful song. Thank you, Cindy. Let's stand together as we're lighting our candles. And if you have your hymnal or your program, song number 236, Silent Night. Is that the right version? I apologize. Yeah. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Verse 2. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing Alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face. With the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, you are dismissed. Merry Christmas.